for this week's episode of the Hillsborough Junior Football Club podcast. My name is James Morrow and I play for 2011 Juniors, and along with Gary, I will be your co-host this week. In this episode, Gary speaks with Director of Football Justin Shepherd about his job role and on the facility. You'll also get a chance to find out the winner of our most recent quickfire quiz. That's all for me in the meantime. I'll catch up with you all later in the show. And now it's over to you, Gary.
Awesome work, James. Thank you. It's great to have you on board as this week's co-host. Now, as James said, I am Gary Devaney, your co-host of the Hillsborough Junior Football Club podcast, and each week I'll be joined by a completely different co-host from the club to keep this show on the road. And that co-host doesn't necessarily have to be a player. It can be a coach, it can be a parent, a committee member, whoever fancies jumping on the mic and helping me run this show. I am happy to have you along. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with the Think Curiously podcast, which you can find across all major social media platforms, as well as any streaming platform you get any of your podcasts on. Now, each episode will be jam-packed with guest interviews from players, coaches, parents, and committee members of past and present, allowing you to get to know a little bit more about our history and future plans, as well as a chance to jump on our quick fire quiz to win some highly sought-after prizes. Speaking of which, committee member Gordy Nicol this week caught up with Cian Moran and Ryan Geddes of our 2006s as they battled it out to become the king of this week's quick fire quiz, which is kindly sponsored by Next Level Sports. More information to follow about how you can get involved with that. Now it's time to get started. For those of you who don't know, I was hugely fortunate enough to have coached at the club from June 2016 to June 2019. And that was all thanks to Club Director of Football, Justy Shepherd. I was delighted to catch up with Justy a few weeks ago to discuss his role at the club as well as the club's future plans. And there may be parents, in fact, I'm pretty sure every single parent of the club at one stage or another has received a text or a WhatsApp message or even an email from Justin, but maybe haven't gotten the chance or the opportunity to speak with him to really find out what makes him tick. Well, this conversation, Justy reveals everything about his coaching philosophy, the way he sees his role at the club and what his visions for the club are. Justy reveals his newfound passion for a more holistic approach to player development, coupled with the club's community-driven approach to create an environment that helps support all players, coaches, parents and club members. So sit back, relax, or if you're not sitting back, if you're walking or doing whatever it is you're doing, I hope that you enjoy this week's episode. So Justin, how are you?
Not too bad, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Good. It's kind of a renounce for me coming back up here to Lisburn. I absolutely love my time with the club. And when the idea came about with the podcast and I got in touch with you, I thought, well, I think it actually be quite a cool thing to do to try and get the news of the club out there.
Yeah. No, it's a great opportunity for us. I think everybody's learned over this lockdown, over the times, that communication's changing. You know, People have been on Zoom calls. I know myself, numerous podcasts, out for walks, out for runs. Lifestyles change for a lot of people, so it's just it's a new way to communicate, and it's nice for us to make the step early and to go in and pilot it to see how it works. But definitely a good opportunity for us.
Yeah, because I know the one thing that we're going to speak about today in particular is the future plans for the club, and I suppose having a podcast is kind of a step forward anyway. But I know there's a lot more other things going on in the background too.
For us now is going to change in quite a big way. We have the new curriculum being planned, and for me, I'd always thought a curriculum would be, you know, getting things down on paper, getting session plans and sort of telling coaches that's how you're going to coach, that's what you're coaching and when. But slightly different approach this time around for me is that it's just adding to our membership and to our player development pathway. So I'm looking at adding different opportunities in for our kids and producing a more holistic approach. Mm-hmm. So that rather than just thinking like purely contact time and adding technical work, that's only focusing on one aspect. Like if taking a step back and looking at football and the players you develop, and looking at their under 16s every year, whenever we are pushing players, whether it's in the Irish League clubs or whether they're pushing in the senior football, they you want them to leave equipped to go and achieve, whether it's in football or whether it's just in life skills, whether it's a job, in different areas. So for me, we need to be targeting more than just the technical aspect. So we have looked at, we've announced quite a few partnerships recently, but we've looked into things. We've done, we've had yoga sessions recently, which is something we're hoping to keep going. We spoke to 360 health physiotherapist as well. So with Suzanne, looking at getting a physio on board, so having a club physio at the club. We've looked at getting Peter Strain back in again with one-to-one fitness, so as a strength and conditioning coach. So that's something that looks like it's going to happen. The podcast, another thing, targeting our communication. And even if we look at the podcast, getting kids involved in that, it's great for them. It's fun, it's a fun aspect, but their social skills, how they communicate, you know, are they going to go into a role in technology or communications?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of experience for them, you know, just another little nugget they add on to their development pathway. So little things like that, we want to keep growing. And we've announced quite a few partnerships, but with a lot more. Gareth Fox was another one, who obviously I came in contact from listening to your podcast, the Power Podcast, you see.
Telling you, what's that podcast then, called then, Justin?
So I think we've had an initial conversation with Gareth, and that's targeting the area of sports psychology, which again is so underrepresented in football in this country. You know, I'm not sure of any, there's nothing that jumps out at me of anybody. I'm sure there's people using different aspects of it, but nothing that jumps out in terms of a template or a club or somebody you could go and follow who's already doing it. So it's a new aspect that I would love to add to the club, grow. And again, I used to fear that we would start things at the club and it wouldn't get buy-in, or we wouldn't get people doing it. Whereas my approach has changed now, in that if we only have 20-30% buying in, that's still worth it. Because they're the percentage, they're the kids that you want to provide for. You know, the kids that really want to, you're never going to have a club of 100% buy-in with everything. Mm-hmm. People's circumstances are different. Work commitments at home, family life's different. Sometimes it's just not possible. It's not malicious that people don't want to do it. Sometimes they just can't commit.
Yeah.
But it's not fair then at the 20-30% that do want to do their S&C session and their yoga and Pilates and have a physio to go to and sports psychology, whatever it is, you know, then you want to give those people those opportunities.
Yeah, there's more than just the technical and tactical stuff, isn't there? I think a lot of clubs are now starting to catch on to that because, excuse me, for so long we've been hearing about the FA's model of, you know, your tech, phys and psych.
Yeah.
But not a lot of people have put as much emphasis on the stuff away from the pitch.
Sure.
And I think that's huge. And even nearly 2 years I've been away from the club, I can see already I walked into the factory this morning and it was painted. You know, things like that, you can see things are starting to happen and move. And I don't think it's, you've got the facility that's going to come, and we're going to speak about that in a bit as well. But you've got such a gold nugget in your crown when you've got that factory there that hopefully when COVID allows us, you'll be able to use it again. Because I think that's such a great facility to have, because you can house your psychology stuff in there. If you've got cars coming down your presentations and the kids can go train.
Yeah.
I think it's such a great facility for you to have.
Yeah, it's always been a great facility for us in terms of the younger end. Mm-hmm. And even when we started the female program, the girls program, it was great just to balance off. So especially people coming new to the sport, if your first experience is middle of November, outside, hit with a hailstorm, hit by heavy rain, you know, suddenly the kids may be convincing themselves, it's probably the weather that's done it rather than the coaching or anything else. But even for a coach to deliver a good quality session in adverse weather can be tricky at times. For them, for their first experience to be different, to be coming indoors, nice facility, leaving dry, even for new coaches coming in. I remember before, from coaching before, even through the old FA job or even last clubs and different things, there was nothing worse when you get home. The wet socks in the boot of the car, you maybe forgot about it the next morning, the wet boots, and you were getting up and you'd been soaked and you were home and straight in, you had to get a shower, all that clothes in the wash. And all that. Whereas this, like at times, most sessions I deliver in the factory now, it's, you go down, you don't bring anything else with you. You always feel like you've forgotten something. I'm like, surely I need something, but you don't. It's all there. You go in, you're inside, you stay dry, all your equipment's there, equipment stays, and you're away again. So it is, it's a great facility, and one would love to continue with. From the, we have more of a family feel to it, you know, coming into something that feels like it's the club's home. You know, they come in, the door closes behind them, and they're inside it, they're secure, they're in.
I don't know who I have to blame for this, but the tuck shop's not there anymore, and I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest with you.
We're losing a clean fortune paying for those strawberries and eating them all. So,
to be fair, it was I always enjoyed the Tuesday nights when Paul Blackledge would order a Chinese.
So. Yeah, I always missed my invite for that one too. Suspiciously, I'm not too sure what happened there.
But the last point I want to make on the indoor factory is that the ability to use, because you know that video analysis is big for me, and when I found that CCTV camera up there, I was like a kid at Christmas. I was like, what? We can use this indoors? And I think the 07s at that stage probably got bored of seeing PowerPoint presentations because I used to use the content there. But in terms of the educational aspect, I mean, the facility is still there that, yes, you can go play your football, but you can also have any lesson you want because you've got a screen, you've got a camera, you've got everything else inside it. So I wanted to make that point just in case anybody hasn't been in the factory before, doesn't know what facilities it actually has. It does have the ability to do that too. So then if you look to the future, because obviously we know what's coming because we've seen it advertised on Facebook and things. But again, if anyone has missed that, what does the future look like for the club?
It's bright. It's good. It's exciting. For me, it's the pitch will just open up so many opportunities. Even now, as we speak, one of the main things I'm doing is trying to sort pitches. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just out of Laurel Hill School this morning and agreeing pitch hire for there. Being back and forth with the council, they're going to release dates in terms of when pitches are opening and different things. So even a couple of WhatsApp groups, the Knights are asking about booking a pitch here. Where can we get back out and playing? You know, you have your own pitch. It's just a case of like, there it is, you know, pick your day, pick your slots. And that's where you're training, you know. So it gives us a lot of flexibility that way in terms of hosting our own training sessions. But it's the size and the quality of pitch. You know, mm-hmm. A full size 3G we've been Lisburn's been crying out for, not just our club. And it gives opportunities to dip in. Obviously the technical side will happen in the sessions. The tactical side becomes a wee bit easier having the full size pitch and having your own use to it. But for me, the massive attraction to the new facility is the surrounding mm-hmm. facilities with it, which will be the accommodation. So you're thinking, you know, club visits, coach education, mm-hmm. you know, loads of things that can happen and people can be housed and stay over. You know, even if I have a couple of late nights, I might have somewhere to put my head down.
Well, I was going to say,
so times I'm on the laptop.
Does that mean there's going to be no more Valencia trips then if we're all going to head out to there?
It just means we're going to return the favour now. So home and away, like. So, but that opens up massive opportunities for us. And obviously there's going to be the homestead, the catering block and different things up there too. So conference centre and things. So it's just huge opportunities in terms of mm-hmm. what it opens it up and what, in terms of what we can do. So it's not just that we're getting a new pitch, because we've had pitches, even though they've been grass, like not much would change if it was only a pitch, because it would just mean you're training somewhere else mm-hmm. and a wee bit easier to book slots and that. But it's in terms of what we can deliver with those surrounding facilities as well. So massive, massive opportunity. It'd be nice to have a facility in Hillsborough after the name too. And we'll have the balance of still being central in Lisburn with the football factory. For me to get maximum use out of it, come back to what I've mentioned before, that community outreach. Like we're tying into other clubs, other mm-hmm. sports as well. So we're really trying to look at working on our collaboration within the community. You know, I've always felt that clubs, I don't know if it's deliberate, but seem to work against each other. You know, there's a good player at that club, I want to get them in. Can they come to our club and we'll get the benefit? For me, I think the only way we can produce quality is working together. Mm-hmm. And I would have great privilege even to, if a kid, a player in future had been with us for a year, even mm-hmm. 2 years, but it crossed over into another sport, whether it's the cricket club who we've talked to recently about working together, or whether they step into rugby, GAA, hockey, swimming, whatever it is, and go and achieve at a high level. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing better for us to turn around and say, well, we helped that kid multi-sport early stages of their journey. They were here for a year or two, you know, the train two or three different sports. And instead of us saying they must come to us on that Tuesday night, it was like, no, come to us on the Thursday, go there on the Tuesday. That's okay. You're still getting two sessions, different sports, but we all know the skills at the younger ages are transferable, you know, and they're helping. I think kids miss out at times when they're not multi-sport, because if a certain night clashes with a parent's work or clashes with BB or something else, you know, they end up just training once a week instead of twice.
I think it's huge. It's absolutely huge. Obviously, our background in the IFA with the fundamentals drives that thought in me as well. But I've had this idea for quite some time that, because I'm from Coleraine, but thinking about in Coleraine having like a multi sports coach network. So basically where coaches from different sports get together and they discuss issues in their sport to see if football might have a problem mm-hmm. and then Gaelic might be able to solve it. Swimming might have a problem, but tennis might be able to solve it.
Exactly.
But there's not enough of that. And I think something like that would be definitely key. But I think the other point is that for people who maybe aren't as experienced or as interested in other sports, it gives them that vehicle to see those other sports. You know, there's no reason why the tennis club can't come and play five-a-side with our five-a-side with our players.
Yeah.
There's no reason why our players can't go play tennis. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it gives you that community and that connection, which I think is really cool. And if you think about holistically the developing the player or the person, sorry, rather than just the player.
Yeah.
When you start adding that in with your psychology, with Gareth, with the yoga, with the 360 physio and stuff, then you're actually producing a better rounded person rather than a better rounded player just.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I just find that, like, even to take the example of at times certain age groups with that issue of nobody wants to do nets, no goalkeepers, nobody wants to be a goalkeeper, but it needs to be seen as fun. Plus they need to have the skills to start off with. So if people aren't being exposed or players aren't being exposed to catching the ball and throwing the ball and rolling it out and diving and they're not going to want to be a goalkeeper if it's constantly at their feet. That's what they're getting better at. That's what they're improving. They're going to want to stay as an outfield player. But if you talk about the multi-skill approach and they've played a bit of GAA or rugby and that, all those catching skills and handling skills, suddenly a kid's going to be, well, I'll jump in the net. So, like, I've had teams in the past where it's been, there's maybe been four or five GAA players. Your keeper goes down, who's going to net? It's always one of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, have a bit of handling skills. You know, they'll jump in and they'll catch a ball and they can step in. So they have those transferable skills.
Yeah.
And we miss that at times. Like, people will talk about burnout in sport. And I'm constantly saying that I don't think the burnout is the physical burnout of too much training. Like, we all played in streets as kids and ran about and we were getting endless amount of activity. It's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? That's much better than sitting in front of a screen. For me, the burnout is the same activity over and over again or becoming boring. It's more a mental burnout.
Yeah.
So just football over and over and over again from the age of 3, 4, 5 and that's it. It's going to click at some stage where you just think, I don't want to do this anymore. Do you know what I mean? Even for the kids that are good or not every time, but I just think people need that release. They need something different.
But in terms of the club structure, because I know from being inside it where it grows from the club sessions who are, what, 4 or 5?
Yeah.
And then you go through all your age groups. You've got, obviously, the girls as well. And then you've got a second seniors men's side, a senior men's side, and a disability side as well.
Yeah.
Is there any other plans to add other parts to that? Or is that kind of where it's at for you? You just need to grow the numbers in each of those?
Yeah, no, there's always been talk of, I think if we are going to think senior ladies,
mm-hmm.
I think for us that's going to be something that happens naturally with the girls we have now. Rather than start a senior ladies team from scratch, you know, there's a couple of teams already in the area. Like, you're not trying to step on anybody's toes. You want to go and take players of anybody. If there's demand for it and there's people that are wanting to play football, then of course, you know, you set up an opportunity for people. But I wouldn't try and force it. I think we have a good, strong girls program coming through now with good numbers. And I think as those girls start to hit 14, 15, 16, then that's the natural progression for us, is we need that. There are members we need to provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's a link with other club to start off with and that's where they go, or the more natural thing will then be that those girls then become whether it's a step in then under 16 and under 18 and then a senior girls.
Yeah.
That will probably be a natural progression over the next couple of years. Although one thing, been lucky we've recruited a few volunteers recently, we've always really struggled to get volunteers in their girls program. It's just been difficult. Now we were lucky, we have added maybe 4 or 5 there in the last month or so. It was one of the other reasons why we just slowed down with the girls program, because we needed to have, rather than having 5, 6, 7 teams that all have one coach,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather have 3, 4 teams all of 2 coaches and then build, and then we add the next one, you know. So that's where we got to with the girls, but definitely senior ladies would be one. And then also I sort of went the reverse way with the senior disability team, but that happened naturally for us through the Bridge Association, which we have Davey Evans, a contact there at the club, and they've been fantastic. That group had been using the facility, had been coming down Friday morning, Friday afternoons, and using it regularly. So it was just natural that we then provided them the opportunity to become a club.
Yeah.
And our Hillsborough Crusaders, who they picked the name themselves, and that's what I loved about that group.
Wasn't it Hillsborough Coleraine? Did not work, no.
He must have missed that meeting. But they picked the name themselves. Our great bunch, love going down there and seeing that group on Friday. We've had Simon and Rodney from the club who have stepped in there as well.
Brilliant.
The support with the coaching. I know those guys love it as well. Haven't been involved with with coaching.
Yeah.
Not against our players or anything, but I know how much they enjoy
Getting
with the senior disability group.
If, Friday, I think you'd agree. Anybody who wants properly fed, go and see them down at the community centre. Because remember the time we went down and it was just food after food after food?
Yeah, yeah. You know,
which was kind of nice.
Well looked at. And we can learn from that. I talk about building adding blocks on in terms of looking at how you develop people and develop players. The setup they have down there is fantastic in terms of the different little arts and crafts, the shop where they make some of the things.
I forgot about the shop actually.
Yeah. So some of the things they're doing, you know, we can learn from as a club.
That kind of brings us really full circle. We've talked about what we have presently with the indoor facility. Then we'll talk about the future, but dabble a little bit on numbers and what that looks like and how the club is potentially going to grow. So Justy, director of football, talk to me. What does a director of football mean? And what do you do? What's your role at the club?
Once you find out, Gary, will you let me know, would you? It's slightly broader than what I ever imagined. So it's slightly different circumstances. Being involved at a grassroots club, where I'm the only employee and everybody else is volunteers, then it's a different setup as soon as you start. So really, I come in to deal with football matters, and once I first came to the club, that's what happened. I came in, worked on the first thing I did was the training schedule, worked out who was training, where were they training, how often were they training, were some teams getting more than others, you know, so trying to get the schedule sorted. And then the other thing that went hand in hand with that was working on a little bit of consistency. I wouldn't say I came straight in and got a club philosophy straight away or set a club culture. You know, those are things that were probably took me a while to work out. For me, I had to get the feel for the club first before I could start to say what the philosophy, the culture was going to be. So it was a little bit of trial and error to start. Did things like first target was the coaches. You know, straight away you'd know from coaches' meetings who you had on board, who was going to buy into what you were doing. The advantage I did have was I had actually spoke. Paul, the chairman, had asked me to come in and speak to the club while I was still with the RSFA. So I got a little feel for the club then. But for me, it just needed that wee bit of structure. It needed a wee bit of a pathway through the club so that there wasn't massive inconsistency. So getting that in place was very, very important at the start. So we're talking things like equal playing time at younger ages, you know, how we do that, why it's important, contact time, how you set up training sessions, getting the ball active, getting the ball at the feet, you know, instead of playing 7v7s, can we get 3v3s going, everybody stop the bustling queues, you know, get people involved. So working on those little habits as the job continued, then was when it started to broaden out. So when things started to happen, like you had to deal with a coach leaving or a coach moving on, or an issue at a team, or an issue with, you know, maybe a parent wasn't happy with something, that so things that were just as you were coming in, things that would naturally happen at any club, you know, and especially with the size of club, there was always going to be little things that had to be dealt with. So probably the difficulty until now has been then having to deal with a lot of that side of things. As I say, being the only employee at the club, you kind of feel responsible for a lot. So it's hard to say, in my role, I'll never tell somebody to do something because they're volunteers. I will ask them, can they do it?
Yeah.
And that's probably the main difficulty I have, in that somebody can turn around and say no, and I have to accept it.
I'm not sure I've got anything left on my list to ask or to add to the question or add a question. Do you have anything else you want to finish on before we finish off this part?
Not particularly. I'm just, look, it's good times for the club. It's exciting. I'm happy to hear anybody wants to put their name forward underneath. We are still recruiting. We can never have enough volunteers. You know, we are looking to add more people to the club. We did put something out before in a little club survey, which we haven't followed up on everyone yet, but I think mainly because we want to put a bit more focus on what roles and what exact I wouldn't say job description, but role description that we'll be looking to add. So but definitely, look, if people can help for an hour a month, it's an hour that something else that somebody else doesn't need to be doing, you know. But no, just an exciting time. Probably didn't mention a few of the other things that we had planned around like bringing back maybe activities on a Sunday again. We'd love to get, whether it's even just a games program. I am looking at, with some great trips before, even down to Cherry Orchard and played, but I'd love to, and we probably clubs phones going and messages going over the next week or two, because it's on my to-do list. But to reach out and touch base with people that we can share a little Home and Away game development. Like, these are non-pressure games. These are development games for clubs to meet. Go play 7v7. Player doesn't show up. Go play 7v6. Go play 6v6 and take one off. You know, it's not going to be leagues and trophies and all focused on who's going to win and people die shouting and screaming at them. It's going to be getting them extra contact time. So our Sunday games program is something we want to get up and running. Things that we can host in the factory. Things we'll be able to host in the new factory. And then hopefully again, it's nice for the kids to go and travel. Mm-hmm. The other thing I didn't mention was I've sort of looked at the new curriculum in two ways. One is that holistic approach, so developing the person as much as the player. But also, I want to put a focus on making memories. I want to have that as an aspect we look at. And that, again, trips have been something we've held off on a bit because we always panic in that, oh, will people want to do it? Will they want to buy into it? Well, how many will we get going? And sometimes players, well, I'm not going because he's not going. Our team's not going to be strong enough. We might get beat in the match. I want to stop all that. I want to think, you know, I think back whenever I played, you know, it's those big trips that you remember.
Yeah.
You know, going to Germany, going to Denmark, going to different countries. Like, I know the clubs had Valencia. We've had Sunderland.
Valencia one I wasn't invited on, was that the one?
I didn't go either, so you can't be getting me in trouble for that. Although I was invited, I just couldn't make it.
No, it was Portugal tour. I wasn't invited on.
Oh, yes, Portugal, Benfica.
Portugal, yes, I'm going to invite that one. That doesn't fall hard on my shoulders at all.
We could only bring 10. You had somebody to hold the fort back here, so you were given a bigger task. But we, saying that, I'm pretty sure you got away a couple at some stage anyway.
I did. I got was with the IFA that year, I think.
Yeah, you were getting plenty, so you only get so much, Gary. But no, I think, look, for our kids, for our players, it's going to be about making memories. You know, most of them are going to play football, hopefully continue to play it and stay in it, whether it's, look, can be high level and they go and make a living out of it. Brilliant. But that's a very, very small percentage. But whether it's go and play in which league, whether it's people may come out of it and go into another sport, whether people's job commitments then means that they have to step into something else. But do they have memories from this club that they will cherish forever? Like, I know you're planning to speak to Brian, the club president, who's going to have loads of stories to tell from the past, but I'm sure there are players from here from 30, 40 years ago who have memories of Helsinki and have memories of Gothia Cup. And look, there are things they will keep dear to them. And I want to get back to that stage where we put these opportunities on for people. So I want to tie that into the Sunday games program as well. Can we get back down to places like Cherry Orchard and different clubs cross border and go down and do little day trips? And we will be in the position very soon to invite those teams then. And back up, which would be excellent.
It's funny you say that because my last sort of stint in the States, 2013, I think it was, one of the parents gave me a frame photo of the team that I used to coach. Honestly, and below it, she's got in Tippex, # creating memories.
Yeah.
And it's, again, I think 100% right. Not all of them. Is a statistic 0.02% will make a living out of the game? Not even make it to the top level, just make a living out of the game, 0.2%. 0.02%. So I 100% agree with that. Memories are what it's all about, particularly with your friends and your, you know, mates and parents. Even sometimes parents come along, it's good for that. I know even the Foyle Cup, for example, is kind of a getaway at times. Whenever it's going to come back on again, who knows, maybe next year, hopefully. But that's even an experience in itself to leave here and go stay in Derry for a week.
Yeah. And we had our Hillsborough at Home feature where the kids were asked, and a lot of them were asked what your favourite memory was. And Foyle Cup came up quite a few times, you know, where they picked out, where they went on a trip, where they went and played against somebody else. Because even the way I look at it, if you go and get a good quality trip and go and travel and play against a good quality side, and maybe get beat 7 or 8 or whatever, you know, a real tough team, you go and play an elite side. Again, it's the experience.
It is.
You know, one or two of those players that you've played against could then push on, and 5, 10 years time, you're sitting going, oh, I played against, I remember. He scored a hat trick against us. I was marking him, couldn't get near him or whatever. You know, it's still a memory. Or maybe it's those, that sort of opposition, that sort of memories that then get people to kick on. You know, they then go push on, think, oh, look how quick
who was it, and strong. Just as you say that, remember what club was it that, was it the 07s they contacted? It was an American side. Remember the 07s were cheering for them or something, and then they went
with the Foyle Cup, wasn't it?
Yeah, I remember that. We wrote a letter, and there was actually a bit of back and forth between the two clubs. Basically, an American side. Our boys were watching the Americans play, and then the Americans came off the pitch and watched us play, and then promised the boys they would go watch them in the last game.
Which they did. That's right.
And then the boys then went and watched them in the last game. Phenomenal.
And for me, that comes back again to the social skills. You know, you're working on those, but even going and having the confidence to step over, go and start socializing with people from another culture, from another country, you know, and go and build those relationships. For me, those skills are just important.
You know, the freaky thing about that was that their head coach was from Coleraine.
I might as well call this a Coleraine podcast.
I'm telling you. Unbelievable. Russell, he's out in America now. Russell, sorry, you've got to put me under pressure now. But yeah, he's from Coleraine. And actually, I think his family's from the same estate I was from. So just goes to show there's talent in Harper's Hill.
Yeah, yeah. Everything originates from Coleraine. Everybody is, if you get your family trade on, everybody just sort of starts in Coleraine.
I have to get it in there somewhere along the way. But listen, we'll close it off there. And thank you. And we will catch up at some other time.
No problem. Been a pleasure. Thank you, Gary.
The Hillsborough Junior FC Quick Fire Quiz.
So here it is, the Quick Fire Quiz. Here's how it works. Two contestants go head to head answering five questions. The winner of each will win a free football. Both contestants are then entered into an end of season draw to win a £50 voucher kindly donated by Next Level Sport. To enter, simply get mum or dad to send a text to your coach asking to be part of the quiz, which they will then forward on to Justin and other committee members. Now, we can't guarantee that everyone who puts their name forward will get a chance to be on the show. That purely depends on how many enter, but we will do our absolute best to involve as many as possible. That's enough for me. Now, Gordy, it's over to you.
Okay, welcome everybody to the second edition of the Hillsborough Quiz. Today, I'm delighted that we have the battle of the 06s. We have Ryan Geddes against Cian Moran. And first of all, tell everybody who we have first. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Cian Moran, and I play for Hillsborough 06s, and I support Manchester United Football Club.
Very good, Cian. Very good. We're not going to fall out, but that's United are not my team. But anyway, I think they're Gary, so we'll probably let you away with it. That's okay. But listen, Cian, we are going to start off, and we've got about six questions for you, and there's a maximum of 16 points, okay? And it'll become clear why when I start to ask these questions. So first of all, question one, can you name the six English teams that threatened to break away and start a European Super League that was widely ridiculed by everybody in the football world? Who were the six English clubs? Go for it.
Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United, Man City, Spurs and Chelsea.
There you go. Perfect. That's you 6 points straight off the bat. Well done, Cian. That's great. Okay, question two then. Pretty obvious. Who were the six non-English clubs? A wee bit harder.
Juventus, AC Milan, Inter Milan, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico Madrid.
Very, very good. Bang, you're straight out of the blocks again there. 6 out of 6. That takes you to 12 points. Okay, question number three. Bear with me. Today is the Carabao Cup final, League Cup final. Or for any of our older listeners like myself, it's been called so many things over the years, hasn't it? The League Cup, the Milk Cup, all sorts of things. But anyway, how many fans are actually allowed into Wembley today for the League Cup final? It's one of those kind of COVID testers where they're allowing some fans in. So Wembley has a huge capacity of about 90,000, but how many people are allowed in today? Do you know?
8,000.
Absolutely brilliant, Cian. Really, really good. You're flying. Okay, next question. If Man City, and they're playing Tottenham, of course, if Man City happen to win the League Cup today, how many times in a row will that be that they've won it?
4.
You are good. You're flying. Okay, next question. Which Northern Irish striker recently moved to Kilmarnock and has been scoring plenty of goals, rewinding the years, if you like, and he recently scored a hat-trick against Dundee United? Who might that be?
Kyle Lafferty.
Easy peasy for you, Cian. No problem. Okay, last one then. Who is the manager of Kilmarnock?
Hello.
Don't know. Good. I'm glad you don't know, because I was thinking, oh no, you're going to get maximum. So I'm glad I've caught you out. The answer is, you're getting no points for this, but if I was being really kind, I might have said to you it was a famous Northern Irish goalkeeper, but I took that part out of it. So do you know who that might have been?
Pat Jennings.
Good try. No, the answer was Tommy Wright, but very good job. But listen, that is a cracking score. I make that 15 out of 16. So you're in with a great chance, I would think, of winning this week, but we'll see what Ryan's got. So thank you, Cian. We'll be in touch, but thanks again for taking part. Thanks a million. Ryan, tell us a wee bit about yourself. You obviously play for the 06s as well. What position do you play, and how long have you been at the club?
Play centre mid, and since it was like 6-7.
Superb. So what are we looking at then, about 10 years or so, nearly long enough for testimonial. Brilliant, absolutely love it. Okay, listen, question one then. I asked Kane about the six teams that broke away, the six English teams that broke away in the Premier League. So part of the reason for all the fuss was because some of those teams haven't been as successful as some of the others. So do you know the actual current top six in the Premier League? Because some of the teams he mentioned would need to be in it. Who are the current top six in the Premier League?
Man City, Man United, Leicester, Chelsea, West Ham and Liverpool.
Very, very good. Very impressed with that as well. You're flying. Very good. Okay, then easy peasy. Let me see. The second one then, we're going to go for the other six teams that were lining themselves up to get into this league. So we had Atletico, we had Barca, Real Madrid, Inter, AC Milan and Juventus. Can you name me a player, any player from each of those teams? So I need one player from each team. Could be a current player or could be like an all-time great. So just one player from each of those six teams.
So Messi, Benzema, Suarez, Zlatan, Lukaku and Ronaldo.
Brilliant. Love it. Good. Yep, we'll go with that. That's another 6 points for you. Absolutely brilliant. Okay then, question three. Again, linked into our first set of questions. Who are the two captains of the League Cup final participants today? Who's the two captains for Tottenham and Man City?
Lloris and Fernandinho.
Very good. Yes, love it. Very, very good. Okay, question number four then. We asked Kane how many fans were allowed in today. Last weekend, they were actually allowed, some fans were allowed into Wembley as well, or maybe it was a couple of weekends ago, but it was for an FA Cup semi. Which two teams did that feature?
City and Chelsea.
Flip, I'm going to have to check that one now because I have down, I think it was the other one. I think I have down Leicester v Southampton for that. I'm not sure, but I'm going to come back to that. But just in case, can you tell me how many were allowed into those games? 8,000 today, but how many last week?
5,000.
Very close, but it was 4,000. But anyway, I'll get back to you in a wee minute and confirm whether or not we've got the point for the other FA Cup semi. Okay, question five and six then. They're also going to be linked into the Scottish League because we've had a couple of questions there based on Kilmarnock. So this time, they're going to be based on a different club. Which club does another Northern Irish striker play for? And that is Liam Boyce. Who does he play for?
Ross County.
Very good guess. And I do believe that's a former club of his, but I think he's currently at Hearts. Then my final question to you is, can you tell me another Northern Irish player that is at Hearts, so a teammate of Liam Boyce? He's a defender.
Aaron Hickey.
That is good. And you're showing your knowledge there. I had down Michael Smith, but maybe Aaron Hickey is correct as well. But listen, you've done really, really well. I will let you know how you've got on. Just bear with me 1 wee second. I've got to check. Going to have to go and check and see if fans were allowed into that other game. So just stay with me 1 wee second. Ryan, unfortunately for you, the other FA Cup semi was the one that was allowed fans in, Leicester v Southampton. So that means, guys, our winner this week is going to be Kane. But thank you both very much for taking part. There will be a wee prize for both of you. And thanks again for taking part. Thanks to your mums and dads for signing that off and letting us use it. And thanks again for being part of the Hillsborough Quickfire Quiz. Well done, guys. Thanks a million. See you soon.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
I think we can all agree that Justin is doing a great job managing and growing our club. And I speak for all the players and coaches by saying that we're all super excited to get onto our new pitch sometime soon. The last thing for me to say is thank you for listening. I've really enjoyed being your co-host. Back over to you, Gary.
Thanks, James. It's been an absolute pleasure for having you as my co-host this week. And thank you to every single person who's listened this far. The club and I would greatly appreciate it if you could like, share, comment and retweet this episode across all social media platforms, helping us spread the word about the fantastic work being done at Hillsborough Boys. Remember, when you do so, to use the hashtags Second to None, Respect All, Fear None, and Together We Stand.